This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. But you,
I'm the answer there. We are broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Dardenne, and it's a terrific place. We have Frick's Ham here today, and some of the best ham ever. They've been around since 1896. They're from Washington, Missouri. They're also serving Sonora Bacanora. Is that what it is? Sonora
yes.
Bacanora. It's a new product from Mexico and based in Gerald, Missouri. And it's like an alcohol drink. So, Martin, it's right up your alley. It's that chocolate cream. It is really tasty.
You know, we have a lot of good Catholic listeners, and they will point out to me that it is Friday here, so I shouldn't be eating any of the meat. And then Kim would say, well, you're not exactly the best Catholic that I know. But for those listening, of course, I will not eat any of the ham on air or did the Italian sausage be inserted. My son Carson is learning well. So he's a second grade student, Catholic school, and for Lent he gave up sweets. And I said, well, that's pretty good at age 8 to try and do something, learn sacrifice at a young age. And I see him eating a donut and I said, What are you doing? You gave up sweets. He said, well, Dad, it's Saturday. And then he also gave up video games. And a week later, he's playing video games. I said, hey, whoa, what about the Lenten? He said, well, I have a friend over. That's different. I said, you, my friend, are going to be a great Catholic.
He's finding all the loopholes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's giving himself special dispensation.
That's pretty clever.
It usually comes from, like, the Pope. Yeah. He's decided when it's okay to break the rules.
How old again?
He's 8.
Wow, that's impressive.
I think he's been hanging out with Uncle Frank.
That's right. All right, we're honored to have with us today an incredible success story.
Thank you.
No, not you today. I remember doing a story right before draft day. It was 2014, and everybody's telling me, there's this guy at Lindenwood who's going to get drafted. I said, there's no guy from Lindenwood that's ever going to get drafted. That's never happened before. Well, Pierre Desir did get drafted, and he played with the Browns. I think he was a fourth-round pick. And then eventually parted ways there, parted ways in San Diego, parted ways in Seattle, and he stuck with it. And he went to Indianapolis, and he had a terrific season. So at the end of the season, the Indianapolis Colts said, you know, we want you to stick around. And Pierre Desir signed a 3-year, $22.5 million contract. Our pleasure to welcome to the program Pierre Desir. Pierre.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Let's get his mic up just a little bit. Good. Put into words when you found out from your agent that they're going to offer you this after everything you've been through in your career. Just your emotions then.
It was actually a lot of communication back and forth that day. I think I was actually in Schnucks and I was buying some salmon. Schnucks plug. my agent was talking to me, you know, saying that, you know, they had some interest. And it wasn't until I got home and I got to settle down that my agent called me back and said, you know, the Colts are, they're going to offer you this. What do you think? And Indianapolis was definitely a place I wanted to go back to. I love the city, the people, the coaching, just everyone out there. And it was one of those things that it was like the same emotion that it was like being drafted all over again. Because as a player, you always want to play in a city that you love and stay in that city and not have to move or do anything like that. So it was just a great feeling, just blessed just to be able to stay in Indy, you know, and continue to play the game that I love.
You were a fourth round pick in Cleveland. You get a couple of seasons there, and then San Diego, Seattle. Ever a point along the way where you say, man, this God, I thought the NFL thing, I thought I was going to stick and stay. I was going to play somewhere.
Absolutely.
Do you get frustrated and say, God, I just want a team that wants me?
Absolutely. I think it was after I was cut the second time in like 2 weeks by the Chargers San Diego Chargers then. It was because you have to do a lot of moving around, and I wasn't with my family at the time. So it was just me by myself, just really thinking, you know, do I really love this game? I talked to a lot of my friends and my family, and they just, you know, they supported me. And I had the opportunity to go to Seattle to continue that dream. But, you know, there was always in the back of my head that, man, if what am I doing wrong? Like, is there something that I need to continue to do? Because, you know, it's not fun to, you know, keep being cut or you know, not knowing where you're going to be, you know, that next week.
Did you buy anything fun as soon as you signed that deal?
No, I think I just paid off some debt. That was about it. I'm a little bit older than most.
But you
most
bought
guys.
The salmon at Schnucks that day.
Yes, I bought the salmon at Schnucks.
Splurged.
Yeah, splurged a couple of packs of asparagus and some tomatoes. So splurged a little bit.
Tell us about playing in Indianapolis, right up the road from here. And so Frank Reich, when you got there, Frank Reich wasn't your coach, right?
No, right.
So that's tricky in the NFL when they switch. A lot of times coaches have kind of their guys.
Right. That's what hurt you in Cleveland, too, when your guy left.
Yeah. You know, they come in and, you know, they're bringing their staff and they're bringing their players. And, you know, I was just, you know, I meshed with Frank very well. And I think he saw that how hard I worked. And they gave me the opportunity to play later on in the season. And I didn't want to let him down because, you know, I've been there before. I know what it felt like, and I just wanted to give everything that I could, especially because they were giving me the opportunity to play.
So not only was it a long journey to get to where you are in the NFL, it's a long journey for you in college. You begin out of high school from Francis House Central, no Division I offers. You go to Washburn. They even redshirt you at Washburn,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
if you're redshirted at Washburn, you don't end up making $22 million in the NFL normally.
Right, yeah, I redshirted. I should have played, but it was one of those things, man, that it's a learning process. You got to learn how everything works. But I think that year I just grew, learned how to, you know, the ins and outs of being a defensive back, because I really didn't play corner like that in high school. I was more of a receiver. So I think that year helped me, but it's definitely a year that I wanted to play.
When did you think, I might have a shot at the NFL? I mean, all kids probably think that when they're 9 or 10, but when did you really say, I might be able to make a little bit of money and play pro?
Was there a game in the MIAA that, hey, there's a scout up there looking at me?
I think it was after my junior year at Lindenwood. I had a successful junior year. I think I had, I want to say, 9 interceptions that year. And it wasn't until going to the summer of the my senior camp that I saw scouts out there, you know, with their clipboards watching me practice. And I was like, man, this guy's happened. Previous before that, you know, coaches are telling you, but you don't – unless you see it, you don't think that is actually real. And that's when, you know, I put all my focus in on going into the NFL.
I know as a cornerback you fear nobody, but – if somebody were to announce his retirement today in the NFL, a wide receiver, you would be kind of happy about that. Who's the one guy that I'd rather not see him for the rest of my career?
Oh, man.
Who was tough?
Who was tough? You know what? I think there's so many great receivers.
Give us one name that – I know probably T.Y. Hilton in practice every day.
Yeah,
but
T.Y. we wouldn't want to see him retire.
Yeah, Hilton's always right. Open, right?
I would say, you know what, I wouldn't say there was a guy that I was, you know, that I would say that should go out of retirement. But someone who, you know, I didn't get an opportunity to play with would be like Megatron, Calvin Johnson. I never got to play against him, so I'm glad that he, you know, he's retired.
Well, you got Houston twice a year with Hopkins, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's a great competition. You know, I love going against Hopkins. He's a great competitor. Pro Bowl player, but I wouldn't say there's any guy now, and I love the competition.
How about the wide receiver that talks the most to you?
That talks the most? See, I think every receiver has this, like, spurts, but I remember when I was in Cleveland, and we were going against Pittsburgh, and it was Antonio Brown that probably talked the most, but surprisingly
that would surprise no one listening is surprised.
Surprisingly, the most person that I actually saw talk the most was actually on the defensive side, and that was Richard Sherman. He definitely he knows how to play the mind games against the receiver.
Could you hear him when you're on the sidelines?
You hear him in practice. You hear him everywhere. You could not hear him. He's very vocal, and he knows what he's doing, and he picks his time correctly to get in the heads of receivers.
Pierre Desir is our guest. Martin and Frank, 590 The Fan. The Schnucks here, Dardenne Prairie off Highway K, right by the Page extension. Pierre's story is that same old one you and I have told many times, Frank, from Howell Central to Washburn to Lindenwood to the NFL.
Yeah, it happened so many times.
It's that same old story. Who has celebrated this the most? Your family, your friends? I mean, because there's have to be a handful that were there that believed in you when you were getting cut. And give me an idea who, when you got that news, you got that contract, that really were the ones you wanted to share the news with?
It would definitely be my family, my wife, my kids, my parents, my buddies, Andy Cepho, Jeremy Moody, just John Clark, just a couple name plugging right now, but give them a shout out. But it was just so many people that helped me throughout my career that kept me focused in, you know, those down times where I didn't think I was going to play again. And I celebrated with them because they were the ones that stuck with me through high school, college, multiple cuts, and, you know, and I wanted to share with them. And those were the group of people that I wanted to share with.
I wonder how the people from Francis Howell feel, because let's face it, they have a little bit longer and maybe better football tradition than Howell,
right?
Central, and yet you became the first guy drafted. Now, Sutton Smith's going to end that drought this year for Howell.
Right.
But they can't be liking this, that Francis Howell Central
no.
gets the first guy in the league.
Right. No, I know they don't like
drafted.
It.
And,
you know, I never lost to them in high school, so I know
oh,
they don't
really?
Like that either. No, never. Howell Central all the way, Spartans.
How about your Colts team, too? You're 1-5. Talk about people giving up on you. I don't know what it was like in Indy, but I'm sure around the NFL, nobody was really thinking the Colts are a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of doubters, but, you know, with a head coach like that with Frank, he kept us focused. And for us, after that 1-5 start, every game was a playoff game. So it wasn't anything new for us. We weren't really trying to change anything. We just knew that we had to win that week, and we focused on that week, gave everything that we could for that week, and then whatever happened after that was going to happen. But we stayed focused and we stayed together, and we still had fun. I know a lot of times teams there, we want to try to switch up or change who they are, but we didn't do that. We had fun. We stayed focused, and we knew what we had to do, and we executed.
You won a playoff game. Then you go to Arrowhead. What was it like being at Arrowhead? That's a daunting place come playoff time.
Yeah, it was, you know, the weather wasn't favorable to anyone, but it was a great atmosphere. It's a playoff atmosphere. You know, that's a game that I definitely want back. I definitely want to go back in the playoffs, and we have the guys to do it, the coaches to do it, and that's where we're looking to.
How do you prepare for Mahomes? I mean,
he can stand
in the pocket.
Right.
He's not. You think he's passing. He's not. He's running. He's not.
I think for us is what helped us throughout the year, too, is we face so many great players is just do what we do. Not really try to change too much, because that's when you can fall into problems, have communication errors or something like that, especially when we had, we had some young players. But we just try to, you know, stick to what we did, and we know what he's capable of doing, just being alert of that, but just playing our defense. And, like I always say, or what our coach says, is there's one against 11. So that one guy has to be all 11 of us. So that's what we preach, and we just attack the ball, attack whoever has the ball, and we move on from there.
I'm getting texts from Francis Howell people saying they're very proud of Pierre also, Terry Black from Super Smokers fame. You see the ball come out of Andrew Luck's hand every day in practice. I imagine you haven't seen many things like it, right? I mean, when he's healthy, nobody throws it any better, right?
Absolutely. He's very precise. And he's a great athlete. He's actually, I don't know if a lot of people notice, is how fast he is.
Really?
He's able to get out the pocket for a bigger guy. And another thing, he's a great leader on both offense and defense. He definitely gives us tips or an advice on what is going to help us and what he sees that, you know, could be an issue. And he's just, you know, a great guy, great leader, and a great player.
We think of Indiana basketball always comes to mind, but that town is really rabid about football. What's it like on a Sunday in Indy? And maybe as somebody in St. Louis, we always talk about towns nearby that we compare to, and maybe we could grow a little bit, whether it's a Nashville or an Indianapolis. Give me a little bit of a vibe, what it's like living in Indy and what game day is like.
I mean, it's a beautiful city. You know, it's the fans are great. The people are great. The fans are really involved, even with me online. You know, I talk with the fans on Twitter, on Instagram, and they really care for the players. You hear that when they're chanting. I've been to some places where the home team goes against their own players. I mean, they don't do that. They support us, and we go on every Sunday trying to give our best, you know, do it for the fans and try to come out with a victory.
Pierre, before we let you go, I know you are having a football camp slash clinic coming up in the area. Tell our listening audience about it.
Yeah, it's my second annual football camp. It will be held at Lindenwood University in St. Charles from on May 11th from 9:30 to noon. It's a great event. Kids K through 8th grade, you know, there will be games out there. I'll do one-on-ones with the kids. It's just a great event for families to come out there to just get some experience with myself and other NFL buddies.
Oh, you're going to bring in some NFL players from the Colts?
Yes. Just
Luck and T.Y. for sure.
They're coming.
With autographed balls.
I'll do my best to get
them. No, what you do is you put their names up there, and then in small print you put May of 10.
May of 10, right.
Scheduled.
May of 10, right,
yes.
Right.
Scheduled to appear.
Yeah. No, it's a good event. Right now we're over 300, 300 kids, and we're close to our number that we're going to have to finish. But
how about more information? Is there a website or anything?
Yeah, it's you can register at football.lindenwoodcamps.com.
Say it one more time.
Football.lindenwoodcamps.com.
Camps.com. Perfect.
We already sold out the first 200 T-shirts, but there are going to be other camp shirts available for purchase. And this is a great time. And, you know, if you want to just come out and watch and support, we're just showing the kids some skills and just me hanging out with the kids and giving them my time.
So you're a younger guy. When you were going to Rams games, they weren't very good. You have to be a little older to remember the glory days of the Rams. Did you go to games at the Dome, and was there any player that you were a big fan of?
So, yeah, I did see some games. But I have met a couple of players, Aeneas Williams. I actually got to work out with him, and
he could still play.
He actually was doing a lot better than I thought. He was doing the 50-yard back pedals like it was nothing. Yep. Like he just woke up and did them every day. but you know, I think just being in a city where there were some good mentors like Aeneas Williams, just to watch them. Definitely made that dream come, a lot bigger than what I anticipated when I was first growing up.
Pierre, honored to have you on the program. Congratulations on all your success. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
The great Pierre Desir joining us. We'll take a short time out. We'll have Five for Frank and also Chris Kerber a little bit later in the program. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Dardenne. Come on by. Sample some of this great ham we have on store from Frick's. I also want to tell you about one of our good sponsors. That's Hollywood Casino. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, you'll want to go to Hollywood for 99 Hops House, watch all the games, go to Final Cut Steakhouse, all-you-can-eat buffet. They have that great shrimp on the line there. We appreciate them being one of our great sponsors. We'll be right back. 49.